we've been together for a long time, and he's the best dean, which is an associate, sort of the pastoral guy at a cathedral, and the CC has been for a long time. And he's been through lots of battles, physical battles. And when people think about Craig, they think about just a lot of the battles that he's been through, but he's had more supernatural healings than anybody I've ever known. So he's able to tell the stories and normal battles that we're fighting for as we look for a breakthrough and seeing more things happen. And so it's a joy to have you. It's Pete.
Amen.
Amen. Alrighty. He's God's lab rat. That's what we call
God's. Absolutely. I'm his lab rat. Well, Lord, we just thank you for what all you're going to do, Lord, over the next couple of days. Lord, you are all, and you fill all. Lord, we appropriate that right now, and thank you for filling us. In Jesus' name, amen. I figure it's always good to start first, because then if you bomb, you know, you're not following anybody, right? And so I'm here to make all the other speakers look good. So that's the reason they start off with me. I haven't told a lot of my stories in a while, and I've often, you know, asked the Lord, because, you know, in some of the things I'm going to say, you got to understand, I am a go for it, believe in everybody that I pray for is going to be healed, right? And that's the fullness of Christ. That's what we're shooting after, right? That's what we're going for. And sometimes we see that it doesn't always happen that way. Sometimes there's a process, right? And so these are just some of the things I want to talk about, because it seemed like all the healings I've received from the Lord were always a process, you know. And what the Lord does in the middle of that process is we need to hear, because in a lot of charismatic circles, we have some family members that are like that, that if you're not healed when you get prayed for, then something is wrong with you, you know. You just don't have enough faith. And if you had enough faith, you would be healed, right? And so what that does is that just puts a lot of condemnation on you and guilt, because you think, what is wrong with me? And then when you start down that, you're going to spiral down. Or for even the people praying, what's wrong? So we got this cool thing to go for. We know it's Jesus within us praying, and we want that, right? We want it to be him, and that's what we're going for. So in everything I say, you got to hear me what I'm saying now. I believe in that. Everybody that Jesus prayed for got healed, right? And people that Paul prayed for, you know, when he prayed for them, they came to him and they were taking, you know, handkerchiefs and laying them on people. They were healed. There was a power of God released. But we're going to see in Scripture later on that he struggled with some stuff too, right? So I'm going to start with my story back in I was ordained in the CEC, a deacon and then a priest. I worked for FedEx. A FedEx driver, really liked that job. FedEx is a great company to work for. But it's kind of the fault, and James and I worked together at FedEx, right? And so back in about the end of 97, I started having back problems, you know. And I just thought it was just having to lift these boxes every day and carry them and all that stuff, that I just wasn't lifting properly, you know, not using my legs. Started having this lower back problem. And as that year progressed, the back problems started getting worse, to the point to where I hurt all the time. And so I went to physical therapy. I would do physical therapy. I'd do the ice and the heat, do everything you're supposed to do, stretches, exercise, everything, and it didn't seem to help. It just kept getting worse. To the point, right at the end of 97, the beginning of 98, I had to lay that down as a job and move on. I got another job. The Lord provided another job with me. And so I had to lay that down, and I really liked that. And as the year of 98 went on, I got worse. I just kept getting worse, you know, as the months progressed. And we did the physical therapy thing. And then I couldn't work the job that I was working then, which was, you know, a lot of sitting down. It was an entire work with Bill Jones. I couldn't really do that job because I was just in such excruciating pain all the time. So we went and had an MRI done, and then we went to see a doctor. And they said, you know, let's try these injections. So they started giving me these epidural injections, you know. I don't know if you've ever had those. What they're supposed to do is, when they give you an epidural injection, is give you some numbing medicine. But the particular doctor I went to didn't like to do that. So he would stick you in your lower back and tell you, let me know when I find a nerve. Okay? I sounded like a Sasquatch, you know, when he finally hit it. I mean, it was horrible pain. And so we had several epidurals. TC and I would go back and forth to Montgomery to get these done. That didn't help. And so we finally went back to the doctor, surgeon, the MRI, and he looked at it. It was a second guy, second opinion, actually. And when he looked at it, he could see this disc in there, and the disc was black, you know. And what happened, it just dried out. It was degeneration, but to the point to where it just flattened out. And so you had the vertebrae on top pressing down on the vertebrae below it with no disc there. So that was the problem. So he said, let's do surgery. Okay, so in the fall of 98, I had my first surgery. And they did this process, which they don't do anymore. I was kind of one of the first to have this, where they take the disc out and they put these little titanium coils in there, like little springs like that, and they lay them flat as spacers for your disc. And then they'll take bone chip and put it in there, and then what's supposed to happen is the vertebrae is supposed to fuse together. Mine didn't. Okay? What happened was my upper and lower vertebrae was rubbing on each other and rubbing across those things. And it wasn't stabilized. So for a year, I went on, again, in intense pain, you know, taking medication, which I hated to do because it just makes me feel real bad. You know, I was on some pain medication and muscle relaxers. You know, those are okay. If I have to take them, I pray over them. But this went on for quite a while, again, intense pain. And you got to understand, I was getting prayer at this time, okay? I was pressing in, getting prayer, praying for healing, go to a conference, go to healing conferences, getting prayer for healing, and I wasn't healed, okay? So in 99, the fall of 99, about a year later, I went to see a doctor at HealthSouth. It used to be at HealthSouth in Birmingham. And they was really good doctors. They took care of all the you know, Atlanta Braves and all those guys, all the sports. And so he saw, you know, that this, what was happening. He's the one that told me that it hadn't fused back there. So he did another surgery to fix the first one. So they went in there and put spacers, put screws and rods and spacers and everything. He said, we're going to give it a shot, but I can't promise that this is going to help you, okay? It didn't, you know. Exercise, getting over the surgery pain. If you ever had surgery, you know, there's a while to get over the surgery pain. And throughout the year of 2000, it was just another battle, you know. And we had this lady that came to our church, and she's part of the story I'll tell in a minute, Dolores Winder. I don't know if you've ever heard of Dolores Winder or been prayed by her. If you haven't, go to YouTube, and it's Dolores Winder, like window with an E-R, Winder. Like my grandmother used to say, window. She said Winder. So Dolores Winder and Sid Roth. You know who Sid Roth is? And listen to her testimony, you know, because she had a just incredible, miraculous healing. And Catherine Coleman prayed for her, you know, up on stage. Is one of those where her nerves were seared, you know. She was in a body cast, bones sticking out, her spine sticking out. And the Lord just kind of straightened her up and then healed her. So we had her at our church, and she prayed for me. You know, we had her pray for me. And nothing doing. So now we're rolling on into 2001, and she was coming to do another conference in May at our church. And I woke up one morning, and the Lord told me, spoke a word to me, now's the time. I'm going to heal you. Okay? Great word to wake up to, right? After 3 years of being in pain and struggling with this back thing, the Lord said, I'm going to heal you. Well, I knew that Dolores was coming into town a day early, okay? She didn't want us to get the news out. She was staying at the Sanford's house. So I called her that afternoon and told her, I said, I'm not trying to put any pressure on you, but I really feel like the Lord told me that he was going to heal me today. And I want you to pray about it. And she said, I'll pray about it. So she prayed about it. 1 hour, she called me back and said, come over here, you know? And at this time, my back had gotten so bad, we had our first baby. I couldn't bend over and pick the baby up out of its cradle. TC had to bring Anna to me for me to hold her. I couldn't pick up this without hurting, this Bible right here. I mean, it had gotten that bad. So when I called Dolores, she called me back, and she said, the Lord said, come over right now. So I went over there that afternoon, and she prayed for me. And when she prayed for me, I felt this intense heat I mean, have any of you ever experienced that before? If you've been healed of something, you just feel this intense heat go into my body. I mean, it was like, you know, when you rub that Bengay or something like that on you, just that kind of heat just went in me. So I'm just sitting there, you know, looking around after she prayed for me, went home, you know, still feel the heat, you know, went to bed feeling the heat, and I woke up the next morning totally out of pain. I mean, didn't have any pain whatsoever, you know. I could walk, I could do things, I could pick up a baby. That's the first healing I got, miraculous healing. And matter of fact, when Dolores came to do that particular conference, there was a guy who flew all the way over here from Norway. He was in the bed with back problems. He was on a morphine pump. He was in the bed 23 out of 24 hours a day. Young guy. He was younger than me. He read Dolores' testimony online, got in touch with her. He wanted her to come over there. She said, I can't do that. So he got to a plane somehow and got here. Flew into Tuscaloosa, Alabama. And as soon as he stepped off the plane, Dolores sent one of her staff to pray for him. They prayed for him, and he instantly got healed right there as he walked down those steps. See, it's Jesus, right? It wasn't her. So he was here, I was healed, and we just had a great big celebration with that one. That was my first miraculous healing that I had, and it was incredible. I mean, for y'all to not be able to do anything like that to that. About a year later, in the summer of 2002, if y'all can remember when Bishop Adler and Betty's daughter was killed in the car accident, and grandson and her little baby, two grandchildren. Bishop and I and Luke and Woody and a couple other guys, Andrew and the Hicks boys, we drove out to the funeral in California. I think it was the end of July, beginning of August, somewhere around in there. We drove out, and then driving back, I noticed going through Texas that I was getting this headache, you know. Well, I thought it was just a tension headache. I thought, well, you know, just driving and you're intense like this, maybe it's my neck or something. So I had this intense headache. Still had it when I got back. And this headache lasted for about 10 months. And we were going back and forth to doctors trying to find out what the problem was. We had an MRI done. And we got in touch with this surgeon at Caraway Hospital in Birmingham, which is no longer, but he used to have like one of the best head trauma units in the country. And there's a doctor who worked up there at this head trauma center, Dr. Craddock, I think his name was. And we finally got an appointment in to see him. Took our MRI with us. Well, when he looked at it, he came in the room and showed us, you know, and said, here's where your problem is coming from. And you could see him. There were three bone spurs that I had on my neck that were protruding out. You know, visible to me. He said, see these? You could see them. And he said, but here's what I want to do. I want to take one more MRI, because that was about 2 months old. He said, we need to take them off through surgery. But here's what I want to do. I'm going to take one more MRI before we do this. So when I do the surgery, just in case another one has popped up anywhere that we haven't seen, I can take care of that one too. So we said, okay. And this was like on a Thursday or Friday. We took this MRI, and I was scheduled for surgery that Tuesday, you know, just 5 days away. So what we did as a church was somebody had a word. Instead of having Sunday night church, let's go over to your house, to, you know, to Craig's house, and pray for him. So they did. The whole church came over to my house to pray for me. And they brought banners. They brought incense. They brought all of the stuff that we have, right? So I had people in my house praying for me, people in my yard, walking around my house with banners, you know, like the Jericho March. We just press it. They went after it, you know, for me. So Monday morning, I get this phone call, and it's the surgeon, the neurosurgeon, okay, calling me. If you know anything about it, if you've never had a surgery before, the surgeon doesn't call you, right? The nurses call you, or a staff in the office calls you. But he called me, and he said, I just want to tell you, those MRIs that you had done, he said, the bone spurs are completely gone. He said, I had to look at it. It was such a difference. He said, I thought I had someone else's MRI. There was such a difference there. He said, I've never seen anything like that in all my days. And he said, only God could have done that. I mean, they were just completely gone. One thing I got mixed up in the story. They prayed for me before I had the second MRI. Got it? Okay. I messed that up a little bit. But they prayed for me before I had the second MRI, you know. And he called me. And, you know, talking to him, I didn't know if he was a believer or not, but he said, you know, only God could have done this. It totally dissolved the, so that was a good, that was almost like a document. I wish I'd have kept the records, you know, because that was like a documented thing right here where within 2 months, all these bone spurs were gone. That was the second one. So, pretty powerful. Third one, about a year later, dude, these things are almost like in cycles. I had this thing, and I don't want to just tell you what it is. It's called a fistula. I don't know if you've ever had that before. Fistula. At the bottom of everyone's colon, right toward the end there, there's these two sacs that come off of it, right? And what happens with a fistula is one of those sacs in there can get infected because, you know, you have all the waste going through there. And what happens is when it gets infected or abscesses, it will track its way out of your body. You know, it doesn't use the normal track, it finds its own track. Extremely painful. Of all the things I've gone through, that's the most painful because it's having an abscess tooth. You know how painful that is, but it's just in other regions. Yes, in other regions and places that are sensitive as well, and extremely painful. So you just have to wait it out. You know, wait it out till it tracks out and leaves your body. So I went to see a doctor about that, and he, you know, as a general surgeon, he said the only way to fix these from coming back, because I'd had two of them, is to do a surgery. And so they did surgery on me, you know, to fix it. But for some reason, I would never heal from the surgery. You know, I continued to have to go back and forth to the doctor, and it was very unpleasant, the things they had to do to you. You know those, like the incense sticks that you light, you know, the old incense back in the 70s used to do? I had those little coconut heads where you put them, the incense. I don't know if you had that. They would light something that looked like that to close up the wound, okay, without any anesthesia or anything like that. Very painful, okay? So it wasn't helping me. So we finally went to this place in Birmingham, Alabama, called the Alabama Colon and Rectal Institute, you know? Not a place you want to tell people where you're going, right? or a place you want to work. So, but these guys were hilarious. Really good doctors there, but they just would make jokes out of it. And they literally had these little vests on that had the butt hut. That's what they called themselves. You're in the butt hut, the Alabama Colon and Rectal Institute. So I went up there back and forth, and they did the same procedure. You know, they said, we don't understand why you're not healing up, you know? You have no infection in your body. We just can't get you healed up, you know. And two, they had these shirts. I brought Woody and Luke. They were kind of small. They don't know if Luke remembers it or not. But they had these shirts. We're number one in the number two business. And they loved those shirts. They actually wore them. But they couldn't. We're behind you all the way. Yeah, exactly. So we're behind you all the way. So, I mean, you got to laugh about that kind of stuff, right? When you're in that kind of place and they understand, you just got to make jokes about it and laugh. But I just could not get healed. I mean, it's hard to sit. It was just a miserable summer. So in the fall, Bishop and I went to a conference, and he's told you a lot about that conference. Morningstar had the conference, Rick Joyner. That's where the Lord first called him as a prophet to the nations. I went with him on this trip. You know, we had a lot of fun. But it was a miserable trip for me because just having to walk and sit and all this kind of stuff, you know. So the night before the last day of the conference, was it a dream or a vision you had, Bishop? Wasn't it a dream? He had this prophetic dream. And I was in this wagon being pulled by this, like a Grim Reaper type character. I was in the middle of in this wagon. And this thing was driving the wagon. And all of a sudden, this horse came up. I think it was the Lord on that horse, came up. And I jumped from that wagon onto the horse. And the horse took off. And what the Lord showed the bishop through that was, the reason I wasn't getting healed was because there was a spirit of death there. Right? And so in part of our learning about healing, that's just part of the deal. That's the reality. Sometimes you have to take authority over, right? Spirits of infirmity, death, we all know that. So he prayed for me, you know, took authority over that spirit of death. And then it was like 2 days later, I was totally fine, you know, and have never had any problems with that particular thing since then, which is a good deal, right? So that was the third one, which is a pretty big deal. Because these things would affect your, you know, I mean, your life, your family life, your job, everything, you know. The fourth one, about a year later, almost a year later, yeah. In April of 2004, we were all meeting over at Bishop's house early in the morning, all the clergy. And we were praying. There was a time just we could just pray together. We're just praying in tongues. We would meet from 4:30 to 7:30, 3 hours a day, and we just prayed in tongues, you know. If y'all remember the early days of the when Bishop Adler was doing that, and everybody, we all started doing that, praying in tongues for a few hours a day, see if it would make a difference, which it did, you know. You could really hear the Lord. One morning in April, I just got this massive headache again. But this was different. I mean, this was like really painful, you know, migraine. So I went home. I said, I got to go. You know, my head is killing me. So that's when these headaches started with migraines, which a lot of y'all remember that. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, I had these migraines. So we went to different places in Birmingham. There was a Ford headache clinic that saw people from everywhere, all around the world. I went there, you know, and stayed under their care for a little while. They couldn't stop it. And then I finally got with these guys at the Kirkland Clinic, some neurologists. One guy actually was a teacher at UAB, and that's what his specialty was as a neurologist, migraines. And he even said then, he said, with all the technology we have, there's still more questions than answers with migraines because they can come from so many different places. So I was under his care, put me on medication, and two different times I was hospitalized. And what he was trying to do is break the cycle. He said, if we can break the cycle somehow, we can maybe get on top of this thing. And he had this, even it was, you know, FDA approved, he had this thing he had invented, this formula that he had, now he had put it in an IV, and he said it works almost every time to break the cycle. Well, it worked for about an hour. Out of all those years that I had that, I had a 1 hour window break of where I didn't have the migraines, and that was when I was in the hospital the first time. And they put me in there a second time thinking, well, maybe, you know, if we try it again, we can break the cycle of your migraines. Well, they didn't, and they couldn't. And they actually told me, which is not news you want to hear, he said, you know, you are the hardest patient we have ever had in all of my history of dealing with people with migraines. He said, you fall into this small category where 5%, where none of the medications will work on you. You know, nothing. Anything you would think that are migraine medications that you can take, none of them worked. So the only thing we could do was under his care was to just take medication. He ended up retiring, turned my case over to a guy here in Selma who did a really good job, and he would just monitor me, and I had to take, you know, medication, you know, pain medication to function, or you could not function. I don't know if you've ever had migraines before, but people would always try to tell me that stuff. Oh, I had migraines, and I just did this, and I said, you baloney. The very nature of migraines, they're debilitating, right? And if you read people's testimonies and stories that have them, they'll tell you that. They put you down. So it was just, I had to do that to survive, and I had to continue to try to make a living for my family and do what I had to do around here, even though it was very limited. So, and this went on, y'all, up until my healing. I'm going to jump in here with a story of how the Lord healed me. That went on for almost 7 years. So it was a horrific time as far as pain went. About 2 years out of the healing, on a Sunday morning, TC, she reminded me last night, I wish she was in here because she could help plug in anything I'm missing here. A guy came up to her in church and said, keep fighting. Yeah, this is about a year and a half or 2 years right before I got healed. Keep fighting, because she had been really discouraged. Because once you pray for somebody, and we did, we prayed for me. You know, if I was here, somebody was praying for me. We did everything. I mean, people, I had all kind of crazy words given to me. You know, some lady said, if I would shave my head and dance around the altar, God would heal me. And don't think you don't think about that when you've heard for that long, you know. I thought, Another lady said, the Lord's saying, drink nothing but holy water for 3 days and you'll be healed. And I said, you do know that'll kill me. It's got salt in it, right, if I do that. But bless her heart. Just part of the stuff you deal with charismatics, right? But we get the good stuff too, right? You can't have the good stuff without the bad stuff, okay? If you're so worried about the bad stuff, you'll never experience the good stuff. Amen. Well, the same guy had a word for me. It was a guy that used to go to our church years ago, very prophetic. Just doesn't go anywhere now and just kind of, you know, has developed his own theology. But he's a very gifted prophetic person. Well, he said, I have a word for you too. And he said, I see this crown of thorns on your head. And he said, I don't know, but something about your healing is going to have to do with Eucharist. But I don't know. He said, but I just saw that. I saw the crown of thorns. I saw the body and the blood, the bread and the wine, which he wouldn't have said the body and the blood. Something about that. You're going to be healed. And that was 2 years. I also had another phone call from a Baptist pastor friend of mine. He said, I think I got a word of the Lord for you too. Keep fighting. Because what will happen in the midst of a battle like that, if you ever have anybody, or maybe you, there's this tendency to stop fighting because you get so discouraged and you get so tired of the battle. It can be intense. That's the reason in Scripture we need to gather around each other. And that's the reason Scripture says encourage one another day after day. So we don't fall into this place of unbelief, right? That's what the Bible calls an evil unbelief, or the evil that happens from an unbelieving heart. That we begin to embrace the evil, the fallenness, right? Instead of the truth. And so we just started fighting again. And this is how it kind of went down. Get my glasses out because I have to reload this. One morning, toward the end of the summer, at the beginning of fall, I woke up and the Lord told me that He was going to heal me. You know, I mean, He had given me words like that before, but this was just like first thing you wake up, I'm going to heal you. And the scripture popped through my mind, Jeremiah 33:6. It says, "Behold, I will bring it to health and healing. I will heal them, and I will reveal to them abundance of peace and truth." Jeremiah 33:6. So the man of faith that I am, all right, Lord, this is you. Just confirm your word. And he did. He said, pick up your journal, which I had on my nightstand. And he said, close your eyes and open it. So I did. Closed my eyes, opened it. I opened right to a place where I had written that exact verse. Jeremiah 33:6. Not a coincidence, right? Or if it is, we need to document that coincidence, because picking that up, just open it right there. So the Lord did that to confirm what He was going to do. I'm going to heal you. It was about that time also that we started, the Lord spoke a word to Bishop Jones, and we had a daily Eucharist here, but even we didn't attend it sometimes, you know, as clergy. We just weren't intentional with it. So the Lord spoke a word to him to be intentional about this daily Eucharist, because I want to do miracles there. And so we did. About September, started doing that. We started coming here every day, the Eucharist, praying for each other. And I started coming every day because the Lord told me to go every day, take the Eucharist, and get prayer. And what I found in me is I really didn't realize how discouraged I had become. The Lord started filling me. Scripture talks about filling you with the hope of believing, right? In Romans chapter 15, the hope of believing. And the Lord started filling my heart with the hope of believing the word that He had already given me about being healed. Because you know, the Lord can speak a word to us or give us a word, but our response is to believe that word, to grab hold of that word, you know? and pray that word out. That's our response to that, you know? So I did. And all of a sudden, my heart began to change, you know? Like discouragement was coming off of me, and faith was there to really believe and press in. And when I got prayer every single day. And one night, the Lord told me to watch this movie. And this movie was A Beautiful Mind. I don't know if you've ever seen that, Russell Crowe, A Beautiful Mind. Where the story of a mathematician, John Nash, that struggled with schizophrenia and delusions. Okay? Kind of scared me at first. I'm like, Lord, you're saying I have schizophrenia, you know, and I'm delusional? But that wasn't it at all. Because what happened was, is they started giving him all this medication, you know, to help with his problem. But it fogged his mind really bad. And it fogged his mind so bad that he couldn't do what he did. You know, as a mathematician, all the stuff that he, if you've ever seen that movie, he'd write in these huge formulas. He just couldn't do that. So he asked his wife to help him. He said, I cannot take this medication anymore and function. I'd rather be like I am off the medication than be like this on the medication. And you've got to help me, because his delusion, she would help him with those and tell him those people aren't there and everything. And so what the Lord told me, and I knew what he was speaking that, is very soon you're going to quit taking all this medication. Okay? Then there, within a week or two, there was this big conference in Mobile. It was a revival they had there, revival of the Holy Spirit, or the Bay of the Holy Spirit or something like that. Was it Bay of the Holy Spirit? Down in Mobile. And we took a bunch of youth down there. We helped out. And a really cool conference. But on the way back, at the end of every month, I would have to call my doctor, because the medication I was on, he had to write your prescription. He could not call it in, even back then. You had to go pick it up, because it was a class 2 or class 3 or something like that. And the Lord spoke a word to me. He said, okay, Craig, now stop taking all your medication. You know, and I said, TC, because we couldn't get a hold of our doctor. First time it had ever happened that we couldn't get a hold of our doctor to get the medication. So he said, okay, stop taking it. And I did. That was rough, because you've been taking medication that long and you cold turkeyed the medication. But I knew what the Lord was saying, is that he was clearing things up for me. He was going to clear my mind up. He was just preparing me for my healing. And I knew that. So the next thing that happened is I had this dream. And in this dream, I'm hovering above the earth. You know, I can see the earth down below me. And my dad, who went to be with the Lord, who's a great cloud of witnesses surrounding us, right, in the kingdom, came up to me. And he said, I'm going to show you why you haven't been healed of this. And he pointed down to the earth. And when I could see it, I just kind of went down like this, and there was a huge serpent there. And you could feel the presence of evil from that thing. He said, this has been in your family, I think, if I remember right, 105 or 115 years or something like that. He said, the thing's been in your family for this long, and this is why you haven't been healed. Within a day or two, I didn't tell anybody about this dream. And within a day or two, TC has this dream. And in this dream, there are two women standing over graves, standing right beside these, look like freshly dug graves, like this. And there was two women standing there. And she said it was so real and so vivid that when she woke up, she could smell. And see, she said, it's like someone took, you know, feces and stuck it under your nose. The smell, you know, if you have demonic smells, you understand what I'm talking about. Like, you know, you can smell sulfur sometimes or just stuff like that. And she tells me this dream, and the Lord reminded me, because I had journaled this whole, my journey for over the years, the Lord had given me four different dreams, and in the four different dreams, there was always two women, and I knew they were evil. You know, one was larger than the other one, one was like subservient, and they would always be walking by me, glaring at me, you know, not touching me, but just glaring at me, and there's this evil coming. I had four dreams, and they were identical. I mean, the ladies were always the same in these four dreams. And the Lord reminded me of that, the dreams that I had about these two women. Well, then I get a call from my mother and my sister, and they both have had dreams. You know, they said, we don't understand, I hardly ever dream, but we had the most demonic dreams about, and it was just bizarre, like witchcraft stuff, curses and stuff like that, the dreams. And during this time of coming off all the medication, which I didn't sleep much through those years anyway, but I really couldn't sleep. And the Lord led me to this book that Mahesh Shabda wrote about prayer and fasting. And I just picked it up and started reading it. And I'd read this story about, if you've ever read it before, it's a great book Mahesh Shabda wrote. There's a story in there about this little boy named Stevie. He had actually worked for a place where they had mentally handicapped, you know, mental retardation or handicap. We can't say that word anymore. But this little boy had Down syndrome, and he would beat himself, you know, just beat his face. So much so that his face, he said, was just scarred up, looked like a alligator skin. And I read that, and the Lord told him to fast for him, that what he had was demonic. And he fasted for 14 days, and then he came and he prayed, and God delivered him. You know, like picked him up off the ground, one of those, you know, massive deliverances. So the Lord was just putting all these pieces together for me to let me know that the reason I hadn't been healed from these migraines is there's something demonic attached to this as trying to stay in the darkness and trying to stay hidden. And the Lord was bringing it to light. So Bishop was going on a trip. So when he came back, I told him all these things. We came together, you know, prayed, put all these things together, and we went to war. Because he said, evidently, in your family, we've already taken care of one spirit of death, but somewhere in your family, there's like a double curse. You know, we hear about double witnesses. There's a double witness in the spirit. There can also be in the side of darkness a double curse. That somewhere in my family, these people who were involved in witchcraft or whatever had put a curse on my family, like a double curse. So that Sunday, we went to war. Brought me up here to the altar rail. Man, we just went after it to break the power of this. That was on Sunday. I started feeling a little better each day. I knew something had taken place. Came to communion that Friday, November the 19th. Bishop gave me a word, this is the last day you'll have this headache. You know, prayed for me again. Woke up that next morning, November the 20th, 2010, totally free of the headaches. That was my fourth healing. See? And you can understand why we say God's lab rat, because we've learned a lot through this. And what the Lord's teaching us, and we're going to learn through this weekend about the grace of God. And, you know, I want to get to the point to where, you know, we pray for somebody one time and it's done, you know, like they did. I think that would be really cool. One more thing I was going to say about that. So, and we'll talk about that when we'll take a small break and then we come back. I'll just tell you some things. But here's the thing we learned from that. Don't give up. The Lord gave us three words, and this is it. We learned out of that. Purpose, perseverance, and passion. You've got to set the purpose. We're going for it with all our hearts, right? We are going to have a healing ministry here, praying for people to get healed. That if you have that purpose and you persevere with it, you don't give up. That's where the enemy is going to try you, in your perseverance. If you persevere, God will create a passion. So you purpose, you persevere through that purpose, you don't give up. God will create a real passion for it. And people, their intent, they'll be, you know, and when there's an environment of passion, expectation, you know, can't wait to see, that's when miracles start happening, right? Well, let's take a break. We'll take a 10-minute break and come back.